This episode of Church Media HQ is brought to you by our all-new 30-day free trial of our Church Media HQ premium services. So we can actually deliver a design, we can set up your website, we can offer a coaching call, and much more, all at no cost to you. And there's no risk, because we're actually, for the first time ever, we're not going to require you to give us a credit card number to try. So there's no credit card required for this trial. All you have to do is head over to churchmediahq.com and click start for free and sign up there and get started right away. I'm not kidding you when I tell you this, that it'll take less than 60 seconds for you to send us your first design request. And yes, we will deliver on that at no cost to you. So again, get started and learn more at churchmediahq.com. Start your free 30-day trial, no credit card required, at churchmediahq.com. Now, today's guest, he's really not a guest. He is no stranger to Church Media HQ. He is a regular contributor, and we're so glad to have him back with us today. It's Jeremy Linnentine, the outreach pastor at a church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So let's get right to our conversation with Jeremy. This kind of section here, if you will, was all about, it's all about like helping you start a project. And a logo is important. Your brand is important. And again, this is all stuff, if you're going to start it, you need to be prepared for this journey, if you will. And so that kind of brings us, though, to kind of piggybacking off of branding, because it's definitely similar, is your website. And so if you say, hey, yes, I think it's same thing. If you can go and visit, you know, the if you will, popular church websites that you know of out there, or maybe not, I'm not talking about like necessarily nationally known mega churches, but even just like, hey, you know, churches in our community that are well known or whatever, look at the websites they have, pull up your website beside it, and kind of give a comparison. And if your website just doesn't seem to match, then it's probably time for you to redesign and for you to get it updated. Now, website projects are a big undertaking. So again, not going to dive into all the specifics, but if you're going to start it, where do you start? Well, you just start with a homepage. It can be the same temptation. And I'll be honest, as someone who's been on the creating and building end, the temptation is to ask for or to send too much information at the beginning. I'll never forget this. And honestly, if this person out there happens to be listening or watching, please give me another chance. But I'll never forget, a few years ago, I had somebody reach out to me and say, hey, we want a new website. And I said, well, here's all the different things I'm going to need to get your website up and going. And I mean, it was a big list. I was, you know, I need this information and this information and this information. Now that I'm looking, to be honest with you, now that I'm looking back at it, I didn't need any of that. Like, I didn't need any of the, I didn't need 90% of it. And so what I did need, though, was just the basics to get started on a homepage. So that's where you need to start. Start at a homepage. I know you have the about page and the beliefs page and the staff page, and I'm not saying that stuff isn't important, but to start, it's kind of like going back to the same way with the title graphic or the screen graphic. If you have to start somewhere, and the homepage is going to establish the overall look of the website. So that's where you want to start with your website, like I said, is with just the homepage. And I will say this too, and again, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole because I could, but a lot of times a website with a solid homepage, that is often better. In fact, I would argue it's almost every time better than a full website that's outdated or loads slow or whatever the problem may be.
Yeah, most websites are trying to over communicate.
Yes.
particularly church websites, because you feel like you have so much to say. Mm-hmm. But there's only a couple of things. I know this is too far than you want to go right now, but there's only a couple of things that are vitally important that you have on your website. And there's a lot of things that people can come and say, oh, that's great. I didn't realize that you also had this or, you know, this other program or whatever else. But we're definitely trying to say too much. And there's basically three things that people are always looking for, you know, is like time and location. They want to hear a sample of the pastor, right? So having some type of series up there or sermon up there is good. And then typically people want to know, what do you have for their kids? So there's a lot of things that's important to us. Like, I know that, you know, I'm really convinced that you want to scroll 30 pages on my doctrinal statement. But that might not be the most important thing always to someone who's just looking in the area. So,
mm-hmm. And the more that I study, if you will, and create church websites, I am convinced that the church website, the primary purpose of the church website is to seek to make personal connections with your online audience. You want to actually get some type of connection, whether that's they filled out some type of online communication card, or they reached out to you through a send us a message thing online, whatever it may be. That I've seen these plan your visit tools and whatever, something like that. Because what that does is it gives you the ability to start contacting and connecting and reaching out to this person before they ever set foot in your church. And so there's a lot of things your website should do and a lot of things that should be included. However, I think the single greatest goal and the primary call to action, if you will, of your website is make a personal connection. If you can get them to take that step, well, now because that's what we're doing in person. I mean, how many churches? I mean, I can't think of a church that doesn't, to some extent, stand up every week and say, hey, if you're a first time guest with us or if you're new here, fill out this card, bring it by. We've got a gift for you. That's what you want, because we all know, whether you're a church or you're a business, that the follow up game is all about contact information and making a connection with that person. And so, anyways, if you can begin that journey, if you will, before they ever walk into the doors of the church, then that's great, because that's what your website can do and should be doing. There's a lot of websites out there, and what they're trying to do is, like you said, over-communicate information, or they're trying to, pet peeve of mine, and definitely not something I haven't addressed before, but, man, I hate seeing online giving as a main call to action on a website. Like, your site, I know you need the funds. I get it. Like, you got to have that giving. But the truth is that, you know, if people are new to your church and it's the first time they visit the website and they're just seeing, like, right away, like, give online, they're like, okay, well, I mean, this church just clearly wants my money. And there are cynical people out there that are going to think that.
It doesn't work. Your church members are not going to your main church website to do their tithe or whatever. You know, they're typically doing it from their phone or they set it up through pushback, whatever you have. So it's, I don't know if you think that, I don't know if there's like a random, maybe people think there's like a random, prince out there who's trying to send them money or whatever to their church through their website. But I would say I would love to see the data on anyone that thinks that that's a really effective thing. Also, man, I would love to, you brought up something about the plan your visit thing, and this is sincere. I've never done that on our church website. I would love to know, for churches that do it, if they found it to be effective, because I have seen that. I've often wondered, like, man, should I be incorporating that, you know, for our church as well? Because I think it's a pretty interesting thing. And I know it; they're all just gotchas to get someone's contact information. But I've never tried that. So
my couple, and really, this is all very anecdotal. I don't have the data for it, but I have talked to a handful of pastors, church leaders that are using that, and the general consensus that I've heard is that the concept is awesome. However, most platforms or companies or whatever that are offering this plan your visit tool, they're overcomplicating it. because a lot of these plan your visit tools, you and I'll be honest, like I've built one or two before because, you know, somebody's hired us, a church has hired us to build their website and they asked for it, so we do it. But a lot of them are asking for too much information. So it's saying like, hey, for example, here's your, can you tell us what service you're coming to? You know, how many people are coming? You know, how many kids are coming? And it just becomes a lot of like questions and it turns people off. So here's my thing, kind of where I'm at. I think the concept again, and from what I've, discussions with people that I've had, I think the concept is great and that it has potential to work. But here's what I would say. Again, going back to this, I don't know of a church out there that doesn't offer some type of like gift or welcome packet to first time guests, you know, when they're physically there. So for me, the simplest way to do it, to implement it, is to say, okay, if you, on your website, plan your visit, when they click there, just have some quick verbiage that says something extent of, hey, we've got a gift for you. Enter your details so that we can reserve it and we'll see you at our next service. And it's just like a name and email form. And that's it. And again, because now you've got their contact information. And if you want to, you can reach out to them and you can begin a conversation on, you know, over email that says like, hey, we've got your gift set aside. What service do you think you're coming to? Are you coming this Sunday? Whatever. And you can start that conversation. But that is, and that's just a general kind of mistake that, again, like I always come back to not pick on churches alone, that really people that are looking for leads, because that's, let's use the business speak for a minute. You're looking for a lead. That's what we're talking about here. And if you want to get insulted and be like, no, they're souls. Okay, you're looking for a lead that is a soul. I mean, but that's what you're doing. Like this is an opportunity, a potential person that could come to your church and could experience life change through Christ at your church. And so that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a lead. And the biggest problem when it comes to getting leads out there is that you're just trying to get too much information from that lead. And so I've heard it said, and I agree with it, that the less information you ask for, the better. You ask for an email at a minimum, and you ask for a name, email, and phone number at a maximum. And a lot of times we fall somewhere in between with just name and email. And so that plan your visit concept, again, is beautiful. But I think doing it in that application is going to be much more beneficial.
Same rules apply for an in-service connection card. And we can't go there, but everything you just said is so true. If it's too much information, you know, I always want to take those surveys at restaurants, say, how do we do? But like when I'm on to question 14, I'm like, okay, forget it. Just can't do it anymore.
Yeah, the only time I've ever taken some type of drastic survey is when they have a really good incentive. If they say, hey, we're going to give, these $100 Amazon gift cards, I hear these on other podcasts, like, hey, fill it out, be entered to win a gift card to Amazon or whatever. And occasionally I'm like, you know what, might be the risk might be worth the reward. I've never won one, but hey, there it is. I did actually have one time where I had somebody and they straight up told me, I mean, it was a big survey, but they straight up said, you take this survey, we guarantee you're not entered for a drawing, we just simply guarantee you a $100 gift card. So I was like, all right, cool, I'll do it. You know, it took me 15 minutes. So I was like, hey, that was worth the $100. But anyways, all that to get back to, yes, on the website, think about as you're getting started with your website, you're making your homepage, think about what the purpose of your website is and what the purpose of your homepage should be. It's not to overwhelm people with insane amounts of information about your church. It's not to talk about how wonderful your church is and what you believe in your history and all that stuff. No, it's really to connect with a person and motivate them and inspire. Well, really, it's more of inspiring them to connect with you. And so when you're starting your website, again, set your expectations. And as far as asking your web developer or whatever, all you really need to ask for at the beginning is, hey, let's just get the homepage. And when the web developer says, yeah, all we're going to do is the homepage, cool. You understand why? Once the homepage is established, we'll build it out from there. So if you're interested in getting started with working with a creative or a creative team, I want to invite you to give Church Media HQ a try and try out our premium services. Our team has been working with churches now for over 5 years, and we've really mastered the process in working with church leaders and pastors like yourself. And again, you can actually try our services completely free of charge for 30 days, and there's no credit card required. So not only is there no cost to you, there's no risk, because what we want is we want you to truly see that our team is a good fit for your church. So if you're interested in starting, and why wouldn't you be? I mean, there's really no risk, no cost to you at all. Just head over to churchmediahq.com, click start for free, and start your free trial. And in less than 60 seconds, you can actually get a started on your first on-demand design request, where we're going to actually deliver you a design based on the requirements that you send us. Get started for free, no credit card required, at churchmediahq.com. That's churchmediahq.com. Now, the next...
You're willing to give every visitor $100 for filling out a connection card, just across the board. Yeah, unless you're there. So,
Well, I mean, I do see George that, like, hey, we'll give you a $5 gift card if you fill this out. You know, I mean,
and it works. People do it. Yeah.
Yeah. People do it. And so, I think your church has done this before. I really love the thing. I don't know if it works in perpetuity or if it's just something that is good for, you know, certain seasons. But I think you've done it. Like, hey, if you fill out one of these connection cards or whatever, I think you were telling me you did this in person, then we're going to make a donation to whatever this charity is or something like that. I think that's really cool, because then people are feeling like, hey, I'm behind something here. Like,
it was crazy. The biggest, we give away Chick-fil-A cards here, and now they can't use them on Sunday, you know, but, so that's what we do for, hey, fill out a card, we'll give you a Chick-fil-A. And it works marginally well, but yeah, the time that we said for everyone who fills out a card, we're going to give $5 to this. It was a battered woman's shelter. Everyone there every visitor, filled out a card. It was crazy. It was 100%. Yeah. So people's, which is good. It restores your faith in humanity, that someone's desire to help somebody else is greater than their desire to get a free, you know, sandwich or whatever. So it's true. And we do that. We'll continue to do that pattern on Easter or a Christmas service. It allows us to partner with a local charity, and it also helps people to, like you said, get behind it. So all of those are good ideas. It's just something it's not something you can do every single week, but it's a great idea. So yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about the website, like, hey, here's where I'm going to start my website project. Well, what about a video? Where are we going to start for a video? And really, at the core of starting any type of video is a script, or at least some type of an outline. Of saying, like, here, you know, it is going to depend on the style, if you will, of the video. You at least have to say, here's kind of the timeline I want to see in the video. We're going to start here and end here. And really, this goes for, it doesn't matter what, any type of video that is actually seeking to drive some type of narrative and communicate something meaningful, it needs to have this sort of script or outline. I mean, you know, I've even gotten on, you know, here before and need to make some type of quick promo video or something. And, you know, I may not have something scripted or outlined, but I've at least come up with some type of outline in my head, you know, whatever. And whatever. I'm not just like pressing record and just like making it up as I go. And so that principle applies to any type of video. That's where you're going to want to start. The temptation could be to start with like saying, oh, I want a video that is really cool and epic and whatever. And, you know, that's great. But, you know, we really need to start with, like, what's the purpose of this video? What's it going to communicate? What's the content? And that's determined when you come up with an outline or a script.
Right. Because what happens if you don't have an outline or script? Your video is going to be like twice as long as you had originally planned for it to be. Because once you start talking about something you're passionate about, It can just go on and on and on and on. So this is especially true. We find this with announcement videos all the time. People just don't know when to stop talking. And so you want that script really helps you get the vital information across without losing the attention span of your listeners. And
yep.
That's true. That's true of any production that you're going to do. So true.
Exactly. Of course, I have to pause for a moment here and talk about the first ever video you and I made together. You remember it, right? I mean, it was me, you, and two other guys. Three other guys. One of them was the cameraman, and we completely made that video up, no script, nothing written down. We just made it up as we go. Now, in the moment, it was hilarious, and
it was great.
It was it's an amazing memory, and I remember
it won
actually
an Oscar. Yeah.
And I remember it was well received even to the audience that we showed it at like a youth rally. However, you look back at it now and you're like, this is awful. You know, this is just poorly made. This is, you know, makes no sense really when you think about it. And so all that to say, if you want an effective video, one that's actually going to inspire people and actually get them to take action, you have to have some type of a script or outline. And that's where everything starts. I would say even a step further, a advanced video project, because again, we could talk about different types of, like you talk about an announcement video. Well, some of that can be a little bit of that could be a little more cut and dry. But if you want an advanced video project, like, hey, I want a special promo video for my church or for an upcoming event or whatever, that almost always needs to start with some type of conversation with your video creative. That's the only one I say that it's very hard to start that type of a project over email. You know, like you've got to have some type of like meeting like this or phone call or something.
That is one really great video to have is that, hey, welcome, you know, to our church intro that you'd have on a website or something like that, because I guarantee you a lot of your traffic that's going there would be willing to watch that video, assuming, you know, that you kept it under, you know, like a 5 or 6 minute mark or something like that.
But you can
communicate a ton of stuff in a five minute video, especially for someone who's new. So yeah.
Yeah. So again, any video though, do not approach a videographer or producer or whatever if you don't have some type of written script and or outline. Even if you want to hire, and I would say that if the video guy is good, then you really should also be hiring him for his creative skill as far as developing the actual maybe even script of the video. But you at least need to have an outline, you know, something that says here's what I want, you know, whatever. So that's as far as knowing like where to actually start these actual projects. And of course, the next thing, I'll try not to spend too much time here, because I feel like we have to constantly harp on it, is this, you have to make sure you have the budget. If you're going to go in and you're not willing to make the appropriate investment, it's just going to make for a really, it's going to disappoint everybody, really. Thanks again for joining us for this episode. Now, I do hope that if you haven't yet, you'll subscribe. We're available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. I do want to remind you just one more time about our free 30-day trial of Church Media HQ. This is where you can try our services, including on-demand design, website setup, coaching, and more at no cost to you. And there's no credit card required. All you got to do is head over to churchmediahq.com, click start for free, and start your free 30-day trial today. No credit card required. Get started at churchmediahq.com. Well, Church Media HQ is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is edited and produced by Bo Snyder. Content contributor for today was Jeremy Linnentine. The executive producer and creator of Church Media HQ is myself, Luke Clayton. And until next time, I want to encourage you, it's time for your church to try something new, because you know that it is so much better to fail at trying the incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.